I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French-Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the GunnaGeek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
This is Camille Kajuri, and you're listening to Gunfire Public Radio. And so you should. Keep your finger on the button and don't stop listening, because there's nothing better anywhere else.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Witten. Did you just say womp womp? And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I like it with the helmet on.
And Keir Hansen.
And that's why, to this day, I can't eat cotton candy.
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again. Welcome to episode 204 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we are once again forced to question education as forced rhetoric in the face of willing slavery to a robotic overlord, while we happily send our best and brightest into the meat processing machine because, you know, tradition. But hey, as long as they seem pleased with me, I'll give this machine another go. I am Jay, and with me in the GPR studios tonight is Haley. How are you doing tonight?
Just a touch of the plague, but otherwise fine.
Oh. Fun. Yep. Yeah, that's going around. Keir is not joining us, unfortunately. He is learning real science at the feet of Neil deGrasse Tyson this evening. So, you know, go him. So what are we talking about tonight, Haley?
Well, this week we land in the wasteland as we revisit the Patrick Troughton story, The Crotons, with robots ruling the planet and never allowing their rules to be questioned. It's up to the Doctor, Jamie, and Zoe to do what they do best. Question everything, overturn an entire civilization's way of life, and then leave before anyone even has a chance to say goodbye.
That's about it, too.
Just sneak out the back door. Be fine.
The Doctor's clearly the master of the Irish goodbye.
Always standing by the door.
Yeah. I mean, this was an interesting story in the fact that there's a lot of things that almost seem kind of, I don't want to say cliche, but standard about, you know, robotic overlords.
Also,
you
know, it starts off like kind of Hunger Gamey.
I thought that too. Like, I mean, you literally start off with, here's a list of our two things, and you know, they both get
this
set
year's
off.
Tributes for the 75th annual Hunger Games.
Exactly. I was like, wow, that was the first thing I thought as soon as it happened. I'm like, well, we know where this came from, but yeah. And then, I mean, isn't it kind of obvious? It's like, oh, it's this great honor. You get to go into the machine and, you know, live with these things and never be heard from again, but it's a great honor, so go for it.
I mean, really, did that place seem like it had anything going for it that would keep you there?
This is true. Very stark. And have you ever noticed how anytime we land on another planet with alien races or something, everybody has to wear the exact same outfit, except for, like, the leader.
Right, and the entire civilization lives in one crappy town.
Which apparently you can't even like travel anywhere else because it's wasteland.
Yep.
And poisoned.
Yep.
Like how, and they never really explained how they get, I'm assuming like underground tunnels, but they never really go into how do you get around.
There's nowhere to go.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
So do we want to go down the hall or up the stairs today? Let's go down the hall. We went up the stairs yesterday.
Oh, but. Yeah, no, it was an interesting look at, like, so you have these people that are not remarkably advanced, but not complete, complete savages.
Like, they've got some intelligence to them and whatnot. They've just been stifled by the Crotons.
It's not a lack of intelligence. It's a limitation of their education. Like, they're educated in certain things because that's what their overlords need them to know, and that's the limitation of their knowledge.
But that doesn't really make much sense to me. It's like, so they're... So their spaceship runs on brain power, which is, I mean, that's great in and of itself, but like...
It's the starship imagination.
But what, like, wouldn't that kind of encompass all knowledge and, or is it like some knowledge is more powerful than others? Like,
I took it that it's like there are certain things they don't want them to know because if they start making their own scientific advancements, then they might come up with something and overthrow them. Like, they don't want them to know chemistry because then they could use this acid and melt them all.
Yeah, and that I get, but it's like, it just seemed like they were really only educated in a very set specific amount of stuff. Not like, oh, well, this has to be excluded because this can overthrow us. Just like, well, no, that's not going to be included because, well, we've already reached our quota of four subjects for these people to know.
Well, and you don't need a breadth of knowledge, you just need knowledge. So it's like, okay, you have 12 units of knowledge now, we can harvest you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I've heard the theory of, like, going to school and aiming for the, you know, like, the C-level stuff so that nobody expects too much from you. I mean, this is definitely something to go along with that. Like, it's like, oh, man, I got a B on that test today. Crap.
Starting to exceed expectations. Need to nip that in the bud.
You know, go the route of Fred and George Weasley. It's like, we just showed up. So that should be exceeds expectations right there. But, you know, so we had... Sir not appearing in this film, who gets killed off right at the beginning, and then I honestly don't remember their names.
I don't know any of their names at all.
So we'll just say Sir not appearing in this film got killed off right at the beginning. Madame Coma, who spent, what, two episodes unconscious or mentally unprepared?
It was the third episode when I realized the guy that I thought was her father was actually her love interest.
Okay. A slight age difference.
Yeah, there's a little bit of miscasting. I think his name was like Falal or something. Like, close enough that it sounded like father when she said it the first few times.
None of the characters really seemed overly interesting. But, I mean, there was some interesting dynamics between them. You know, you had the leader of the community who was love interest's father. And then he teams up with the doctor.
He was love interest father. I was thinking he was love interest rival's father, but no.
But, I mean, then you had the guy who eventually wound up being the leader of the community and wanted to just completely go to war with him. And it's like, well, you know, we got destroyed with weapons of mass destruction that completely decimated everything outside and, you know, complete wasteland. But no, let's totally go at them with slingshots.
We have slings and fireballs. We can defeat them.
Yeah,
go for that.
That's going to work. Yeah, but I mean, it's like you just knew that it was going to go badly. And I don't know, I was almost kind of sad when the former leader ran in there and got, you know, instantly vaporized. It's like, well, you knew it was coming.
And he took
still.
The one change of clothes they had with him, too.
Seriously, that was the only bit of uniqueness in the whole community. But so what did you think about the Crotons themselves as adversaries?
Okay, if you were to tell a 10-year-old, I need you to draw me what a robot looked like in 1969, that is exactly what they would draw.
You're not wrong. I mean, but then you think, I mean, these basically were very basic robots. Mm. They're, you know, everything is run mathematically. You know, even like, give me directions. It's like, okay, this radius, that vector. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. They are very basic robots. Everything is very programmatic with them. So, it makes sense that the whole design would be so basic. Mm-hmm. I found them interesting, but yeah, I can see why they didn't stick around for more than just this one story.
I would be fine if they came back. I think they're ridiculous and perfect.
I don't know. I think the most interesting thing about them was the way they melted at the end.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm sitting there listening and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure out if this is scientifically plausible, but I can't remember. I couldn't remember the name of the substances that they kept throwing out.
I'm not sure. I think the acid was real, but I think the other element they might have made up. But I wasn't paying enough attention to really know for sure.
Exactly. The sulfuric acid's real.
Right.
And
the stuff that the doctor kept, like, sipping and putting his fingers in.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, We don't know Time Lord physiology that well yet.
Right, but then the dumb scientist that was helping Jamie do the sciencey stuff also kept like touching it. Like, what are you doing? Okay. And PPE, and people, it's important.
I love that, you know, Jamie's intelligent enough. He's got the bandana over his face to, you know, protect from the fumes. And dumb scientist over there has one covering his mouth, but his nose is completely exposed. Like, that's doing great stuff for you there. Yeah.
It was uncomfortable, though.
I couldn't breathe with it on.
I think my favorite part, though, was when they were doing the test on the computer, and the doctor was like my dad when you set him down in front of a computer. Like, wait, no, what does this button do? No, I didn't mean to do that. Hold on. Where's the clicker?
And I love that he and Zoe had this kind of rivalry of like, it's like, well, look at that. I got a higher score than you. You answered more questions than I did. Like, it was just like a running theme through the whole thing. And then, you know, Jamie sitting there all by himself, poor guy, like, it's like, nope, you're completely useless to us.
Poor, sweet, dopey Jamie.
But I love that he took down like the head of the security completely unarmed. Just, oh, I'm going to grab your wrist and squeeze really hard. Crack team they got there. But... but I mean, I did notice, though, that there seem to be a lot of episodes that keep coming back to that style of pointing out education as, you know, forced rhetoric. It's like you just cram stuff down their throats, make sure that they say the right answer. And it's just, it's becoming uncomfortable for me because I'm looking at it. And I'm like, this is, nothing has really changed. It continues to be that. We make it pretty and everything like that, but... I mean, tell me that standardized testing isn't the exact same thing that we're doing here.
Well, yeah.
No, you don't need art. That's not important to you. Study this over here. Make sure you answer this test correctly.
I was kind of hoping it would be a thing where it's like, it's not knowledge they needed. It was intelligence. And Jamie would actually be useful for them because he's not dumb. He's just uneducated.
That would have been great.
Like, he's like the most intelligent one they have. It's just, you know, he came from the 1700s and... you know, didn't have access to, like, books.
Google wasn't a thing yet. Yeah, that would have been fun. But I don't mind Jamie being the brawn of the group. Because, I mean, you can have the doctor and Zoe sitting there figuring things out. And it's very typical that they're sitting there, like, you know, trying to figure things out. And Jamie goes over and bashes open the door. He's like, okay, there, I got it. Let's go.
He's carrying the big, heavy vat of MacGuffin.
Yeah. But I mean, all in all, I think this was a fun little story, but not one that I think I'm going to be revisiting anytime soon. It definitely flew under the radar when I was doing my first watch of the classics, and I can see why now.
Yeah. I mean, if it were a modern episode, it would be a, you know, standalone episode. It's just at the time they happened to do four of those as a standalone story.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it definitely would have just been one of those like, okay, well, that was a filler episode, sure, but I mean, it's not a bad idea to get those every now and again, where it's just, hey, here's the problem, let's solve this, and then next week it's back to status quo. So it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing to get us through.
Going back to the first part of this story, how long is it before the doctor fixes the sensors and stuff so he knows where he's landed before they just step out onto a planet?
I don't know, but I like that they step out and it's like, there's a really horrible smell. Are you sure the air's not poisoned? It doesn't seem to be.
Not dead yet. Where are we? You don't expect him to know, do you?
That was a great line. And I love that they've gotten to the point where they can make those kind of jokes. But I think one of my favorite things about this episode was the doctor's face when he realizes that his umbrella was ruined. It's like... you know, he's watching this whole race be subjugated, sacrificing their children, this, that, and the other. But the most upset he got was when his umbrella was destroyed.
You don't understand. It was his umbrella.
Exactly. It was his favorite. I think that it would be interesting to see these guys come back in the new series, just to see how a modern doctor would deal with them, because. You look at it, I mean, Troughton is very much like, he's scared of these guys at a lot of points. You know, the times that he has to come face to face with them, he's very, not subservient, but, you know, very accommodating, very like, okay, let's, don't get ahead of ourselves. We're coming, we're helping, you know, and he's trying to buy himself time, but he never actually goes on the offensive when he's around them. Mm-hmm. It's all like, you know, anytime he's away from them, he's like, okay, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do. But when he gets in front of them, it's very... he just goes along with it, but it'd be interesting to see how a modern doctor would deal with this stuff. And you know it would be full of pseudoscience, because that's what these guys, that's their weakness.
Well, and, you know, they can't face a villain without talking them to death either.
True.
Like, I'm thinking the last, at least the last three doctors, maybe Eccleston too, I don't clearly remember his behavior, but would be pacing around the room, picking things up, flipping switches, pushing buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, I think the 12th doctor, if he were to face these guys, there would be a little bit of that. He'd be chastising them for not understanding emotions and this, that, and the other. And then you realize the whole time he's just had his finger on the button waiting for them to give him an excuse to push it.
Yep.
But yeah, it was an interesting little ride, but I'm looking forward to what we've got coming up in the pipe, because we're getting into some really good stuff. And I think the next episode that we've got for the classic rewatch is The Seeds of Death. And that one's going to be fun. But next week we've got something more exciting to talk about. Mm. So we ready to get into the news and discuss that?
Let's do it.
So we are literally days away from the premiere of Class. And they've been hitting this. Well, yeah. We don't bring that up anymore, Haley. It's too painful.
Can't help it.
But yeah, so they've been hitting the social media hard lately. I know, especially on Snapchat, they've been every day posting new videos, just like little 10-second stuff of the cast doing whatever it is with a countdown thing on it. But yeah, no, so we're just days away from that, and that's exciting. I can't wait for this, because it's the more they hype it up, the more excited I get. But that's actually what we will be talking about next week, is the first episode of Class. So,
woot.
Yes. Looking forward to the trip to the UK to watch this.
I know, it's going to be exciting. I'm going to go stand next to that big clock.
It's like Big John or something like that.
I don't know.
But we've got some news about Series 10 of Doctor Who, though. And that is the fact that it's going to get a little bit nutty, because Missy is absolutely coming back.
Yes.
Michelle Gomez has confirmed that she will be part of Series 10. We don't know much more about that, where she's going to fit in, how often she's going to be there. Just the fact that she is going to be back, because, you know, you can't expect a whole room full of Daleks to take out the Master like that. It's not going to happen.
She'll scratch their eyes out.
Yeah, but I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about this, though. Like, when I first heard the news, I was like, yay! But I don't know. I'm worrying that we might be doing a little bit of overkill here.
Well, I mean, if they put her middle to end of next season, which is probably where she'll be since we know they've started filming a while back, then that puts you over a season between her appearances, because she was at the very beginning of Series 9.
Right. Yeah, I worry that it's going to be more of the same with what they did with the Master when they first introduced him, where it was just constantly coming back and constantly getting defeated. And as much, I mean, I love Michelle Gomez. I love the character of Missy. Everything about it is just absolutely brilliant. It's fantastic. But I don't want to see her get overused. I want them to do it smart so that they can keep bringing her back. Mm. And we don't have to go into Series 11 like, well, we've got to recast the Master because we've, you know, burned this one up.
Well, if Capaldi goes, which people are speculating that he might, with Moffat leaving, then it would make sense to get a new Master the following season, because typically it's, you know, one Master, one Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I would really like to see the Paternoster gang again.
That would be nice, yeah, but we haven't gotten any news about that one yet.
No, and we would know if it were happening.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, Dan Starkey alone wouldn't be able to keep his mouth shut, I think. But I don't know. We'll have to see how things play out. Maybe it'll be something where they alternate. Although, oh, geez. Can you see the Paternoster gang dealing with Missy?
Really, just Voster and Missy. That's all I need in life. I could die happy. I mean, if we could get River there, too, all the better. But I think just it's probably not going to happen.
Voster being all kinds of classy and snarky, and Missy just being completely bonkers, and Strax over there in the corner just going through his arsenal. Maybe this one? How about this one? Can we use this?
And just every time pulling out an identical grenade.
Just a different color. Looks exactly the same, just a different like band of color around it or something. It's like a different Pokeball. Well, but yeah, unfortunately, that's about all the news that we've got for this week. So hopefully as we get into Class, things will start coming out, because I know they're hitting pretty hard and heavy on filming of Series 10. So we should be getting more news as it comes out. But Well, this has been episode 204 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, may the odds be ever in your favor.
And this is Haley saying, let's see what happens. We can only blow ourselves up.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2016.